Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Current government figures list the U.S. unemployment rate at 6.1%. Experts say real unemployment, if you count those no longer receiving benefits or actively seeking work, is closer to 13%. But how about all of those of you who are working part-time and want a full-time job, or are stuck in a job that you don't admire and you're earnestly seeking something better? You put all those together and about one out of five Americans is either unemployed or underemployed, actively or silently seeking something new and better. And perhaps even more disturbing is the length of time it's taking to find a new job. BLS statistics say on average it takes someone under 55 10 months to get a new job, but for those of us 55 and older, it takes nearly 14 months. And if you're over 50 and looking for a position paying over $75,000 a year, it can take you 18 months to 2 years to find a position that pays what you're worth. But to heck with statistics, if you're out of work or stuck in a job you despise, your unemployment rate is 100%, and you don't have the resources to wait 2 years to find that perfect job. And my guest today, Tammy Cabell, says your approach to finding a job may be all wrong. As an executive search consultant, Tammy points out that 92 to 95% of job seekers today turn to the online job boards like CareerBuilder.com and Monster.com as their main resource for looking for jobs. But the problem is, she says, these job boards only hold only about 4 to 5% of the total jobs available in the market today. And get this, each published position you apply for probably receives 600 to 1,000 resumes, and those are not real great odds, are they? And Tammy's here to talk about a better way to land that next job. And Tammy Cabell is founder and CEO of Career Resume Consulting. That's an executive career firm founded in 2008, nationally recognized for helping clients land six-figure positions and shaving months off the search process. And best of all, she concentrates on assisting seasoned men and women in their late 40s, 50s, and 60s to find positions paying $100,000 and up, which isn't too shoddy. And prior to CRC, Tammy was a senior marketing director for one of the largest executive career firms in the industry. And she's been on the other side of the desk because she was 18 years as a hiring manager in both large and small companies. And she's considered a national authority on hiring and job search. Been featured multiple times in the Wall Street Journal, MSNBC, CareerBuilders.com, and several other media outlets. And welcome, Tammy, to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. And we're indeed honored to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Ray. And I couldn't have said it better myself. I really appreciate the introduction. And you've really outlined the job market. And I think that a lot of people don't realize how dire it is, even with low unemployment rates. It's really not the true picture, and you've done a really good job of outlining that.
Yeah, that unemployment rate is very deceptive, really, in terms of the mood of the people that are looking for a job, a lot of them. But that's what we're trying to get around, is that being depressed over the statistics. And, you know, in this free manual that's available through your website, you state that the job market has changed more in the last 5 years than it did in the previous 50 years. How has it changed, and what does this mean for, say, a highly qualified 53-year-old that's looking for an upper-tier type position?
Sure. And let me start by saying that this information that I'm going to share today, and also in the free manual that's on my website, it's information that will work for any professional position. It doesn't have to be a six-figure position, but it is specifically for, I would say, older Americans above 45, really in their 50s and 60s.
Oh, I see.
And it's also very good information for people who are considering changing their careers or changing their industries, or who haven't had to look for a job in over 5 years. Maybe it's been 10 or 15 years since you've had to look for a job.
Yeah, and it, like you say, things have really changed. And what are some of the changes that have occurred just the past 5 years or so?
Sure. I think one of the biggest changes is that LinkedIn.com, a website that helps business professionals network with other business professionals and link in with other people.
Yeah.
It has changed from something that was just a nicety to have to something that is an absolute necessity to have. Sure. As far as a nice, big, robust profile, you have to know how to put up your LinkedIn profile, because there's a recent statistic. I was actually talking to a friend of mine who wrote a best-selling book about LinkedIn and how to get a job with it.
Yeah.
And he said that 30 to 35% of all employers and recruiters use LinkedIn as their exclusive form of looking for their next candidates.
Wow. That's really a shocker.
Yeah, and I remember seeing a statistic in 2011 that said 19% used it exclusively. So it's really increased over the last 3 years.
Has. No, that's interesting. But you mentioned that there are like 8 segments of the job market, 5 published and 3 unpublished. And what are these 8 segments, and which of these do you recommend that a seasoned job seeker should concentrate on? Obviously, LinkedIn, if you call that social media, is one of the segments we should concentrate on. But what are some of the other ones?
Sure. As the 8 segments, really there are 3 published, and that's going to be it's a lot of some of the job boards. But job boards, really, even though there's 3,000 job boards out there, there's really nothing that the job boards hold as far as, I would say, anything above $50,000 or $60,000.
Oh,
you really find most of those job boards are for hourly workers and for lower individual contributor professionals, not necessarily for management and up.
That's what I've discovered, too. Like, if you go to, we have this Des Moines area jobsearch.com or something, it's supposed to local job boards, and you look there, and the jobs are pretty pedestrian that they're looking for.
Yeah.
They aren't the kind of executive positions that
Exactly. So you can look in, you know, there are still some papers out there that still hold classifieds. You could certainly go there.
Oh, yeah, I remember the newspaper.
Exactly. And that's one of those, they just don't hold very much. That's the problem. A lot of these published positions, and another is the websites that hold the published positions. So if you have, for instance, a certain company that you're wanting to go after, you could look at their their career section of their website.
Oh, I see. The companies do have employer websites and that talk about careers.
Yes.
Some of them do, I guess.
Yeah, they do. And so that's going to be, those are like the published sections, but really it's how do you get into that unpublished part that's hard. Some of that is who you know, and it's networking is a big piece of getting into the right sections of the job market. In published, it's just employer websites, newspapers, magazines, job boards, and then there are some recruiters too that have that. But I like the unpublished job market, because if you liken the published job market, think of it as a small pond stocked with just a few fish, but you've got over 20 or 25 million fishermen putting their resumes in there trying to capture something. And then you've got this lake over here that nobody knows about that has plenty of fish in it that nobody's
very good
going
way to. Put it, but,
That's what you've got to go after. And there's really 2 main ways that I recommend going after those unpublished jobs. You may have heard about the hidden job market. It's talked about in a lot of online articles and blogs. The hidden job market really is nothing more than a small to mid-sized company who doesn't have a large HR department, doesn't have the resources to spend money to put something out on CareerBuilder or even out on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And if they do, they know they're going to get hundreds, if not over 1,000 resumes.
Yeah.
So they don't have the resources to go through hundreds of resumes, call 30 people, get it down to 5 people to bring in to interview.
Yeah.
That's just too much time, too much effort, too much money. So what they do instead, let's say an owner of a $10 million company needs an accounting manager.
Yeah.
Literally, they go to their colleagues in their industry. They go to their coworkers. They say, who do you know that knows accounting? Who do you know that could help me? I need an accounting manager. They even talk to their friends and their family and just anybody that might be able to help them find an accounting manager.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's who you know. But if you don't know a lot of people, if you don't know how to network, then and I do hold a free webinar about networking that you can find on my website too, and it's coming up on the 13th. Yeah, I do a lot of free webinars. I try to share a lot of information. But what you can do in lieu of knowing people and getting in that way is you can send, believe it or not, a hard copy of your resume to the person that would be your boss. So you would look on LinkedIn. That's a great resource to look at for a database. You could also Google. And if it's a company that has 250 people or less, I recommend sending it to the owner.
Yeah,
because the owner's going to have some say in whether that person gets hired, especially if the job is being created.
Yeah. You know, that sounds ancient, but that's what the kind of recruiting I did maybe 30 years ago was sending out the hard-covered resume and the with a cover letter on it and stuff. So maybe things haven't changed quite as much as I thought. The other
they have changed, and this is a different way. Think about it as coming full circle because everybody emails their resume these days.
That's right.
But think about how long something stays in your inbox if you get it in email versus how long it would stay on your desk if you got it in hard copy and it was on nice white linen paper and there might be a little color to it. I mean, there's a lot of ways to use marketing techniques that get somebody's attention that will compel them to give you a call.
And, you know, you talked about smaller companies. You can even go one step further, maybe they think they need an accounting manager, but you might go in there and convince them they need a CFO or something.
Absolutely.
You could basically define a job that
obviously
serves the needs of the company, which you must know before the interview. But
And
you obviously don't want to threaten the person's job that's interviewing you either.
Exactly.
You're talking
in
terms of supporting him or her to accomplish their objectives. But
well, absolutely. And what I've found in the last 12 months, and this is actually some good news about the job market, in the last 12 months, my clients have had jobs created for them 40% of the time.
Mm.
So 40% of my clients have landed jobs that are new, that never existed before, that were created for them, and that's where you can make the most money because you can utilize all of your skill sets.
Yeah,
and you can explain to them what it is that you can do for them.
That's really the ultimate compliment that is being paid to you as the interviewee, is if they're going to create a job for you, they obviously really think you're something special.
You're an investment.
Yeah,
you're not just a candidate. You're really an investment. Yeah. And I'll tell you something. What I've found for older, especially older employees and older job search candidates, is that they tend to underestimate their abilities, and they tend to go after positions that they are overqualified for. And there are legitimate reasons why employers do not want to hire people that are overqualified. They're terrified that they'll leave soon, as soon as they find something better. And they're also worried that they're going to be bored and they're going to be disgruntled because they're not making as much as they should. And they're not utilizing all of their skills, and so they're not happy in their job. So it makes sense not to hire someone who's overqualified. So here's what I tell my clients and really anybody who will listen to me.
Okay,
I say if you're older, use your age to your benefit and use all of your experience and your strengths and your skills. That is your unique selling proposition, and nobody has that but you.
age discrimination seems to be less a problem with the higher the level the job goes.
Yes.
As opposed to entry level or, you know, lower level things that definitely you seem overqualified for.
Yes, exactly. In the Midwest, I really start to see some sort of ageism at around age 58.
That's
and in the West Coast, it's lower. They really value youth and energy in the West Coast.
Yeah, you have to look
but
good
in the
to
Midwest,
be in Southern California, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And Northern California. Think about Silicon Valley.
Right.
If you're over 40,
right.
You're ancient.
Yeah, that's right.
But in the Midwest, it's great. It's 58. But I'll tell you what, you can overcome that with specific strategies by, for instance, I just took on a client who's 65 years old.
Oh,
he has owned his own company for 20 years.
Yeah, that's
and for 20 years,
indeed.
It has grown. It's great. So one of the things I told him to do, I said, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to invest in a smartphone because he had a flip phone. And I said, you have got to get technologically savvy. Get yourself a smartphone. And, you know, you don't have to get an iPad, but a tablet.
The interviewer.
Oh, yeah. Not in front of the interviewer. Never show a flip phone in front of an interviewer.
No, I just mean you want to let them know that you use one somehow.
Yes, exactly. You want to be using that when they come to greet you. You know, show that you're
Your wife give you a call.
Well, or check your email,
anything
like that.
No, that's true.
Something else that you can do is talk about the activities that you're involved in, whether it be volunteer activities or they just want to make sure you're active because they do worry
about... Yeah, talk
about
your bike riding or your golf or something like that.
Yes, you love to play tennis, you love to play golf. You can take the weather and say, gosh, I wish it was warmer or colder so I could get out on the golf course or I could get out on the water, whatever it is that you like.
If you're older, they certainly don't want to take a... If it's a small company, they don't want to take on somebody that's going to send their health insurance rates way up.
That's actually right. And they're worried that you might take a lot of time off or cost them a knee replacement or something like that. So you've got to show that you're active and that you're healthy. You also have to show that you still learn quickly and that you're up to date with technology. That's big thing if you're older.
Yeah,
you've got to show yourself
to
be
old,
very...
dinosaurs know how to do anything on the internet or... especially social media and all this kind of stuff.
You don't necessarily have to be on social media. I find that not to be the case. You don't necessarily have to be on... You definitely don't have to be on Twitter, and you don't have to even be on Facebook.
Yeah,
but I
do
suggest...
I don't know why, but I despise Twitter. I usually go on Facebook. I don't lie. I guess I'm too windy. I just don't like those short messages that send on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is for the younger crowd, but honestly, you can find, I know some employers who have tweeted job opportunities, and then they'll tweet an hour later saying, okay, I got 40 resumes, I don't need any more, thanks for your attention.
So you
can find job opportunities like that.
I don't think I'd want a job opportunity that's going to get 40 resumes in an hour for all probably young people anyway, but... Well, whatever your ultimate job strategy, you'll need an effective resume when you lay out your strengths, and you won't land a job on a resume alone. What should be the real purpose of your resume, and how do you accomplish that purpose?
Certainly. I consider the resume to be a marketing document, and so one of the secrets of writing an effective resume is to write it persuasively instead of academically.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
so, and that really helps. Also, quantifying your achievements, and sometimes that's difficult to do, but if you think about what you're most proud of in your career, think about each job individually.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of in each of your jobs? And how did you affect the bottom line of the employers that you worked for? Put that down on your resume. I'm a big proponent of one-page functional resumes for older workers because I see dozens of resumes a week, and what I still see are older individuals that are putting their experience back to the 80s and even back to the 70s on their resume.
And then they usually list them in chronological order, and your last job may not have been your your highlights of your career.
Exactly, exactly. So I recommend a one-page, 30-second commercial that will give people the highlight of what you've been able to do and how you've been able to affect the bottom line and really tells the story of what you're able to do for them. You really want to be able to connect the dots between what you've done in the past and what you're able to do for an employer.
I love the way you say numbers matter, because like you say, if you just make general, I greatly improve this and that, and it doesn't mean anything, but if you say I improve the bottom line for my division by X percent or
yes.
X million dollars, that really has a much bigger impact. But
it really does. And the secret to that is if you first have to realize, do I save a company money or do I make a company money?
Yeah,
and then once
true.
You have that, you focus on one of the two of those. And unless you're going for a CEO or a chief operating officer, which is a COO, you really don't want to put both, because you're kind of muddying the waters. You really want to be focused on one or the other.
Yeah,
and
you better not go for a CEO job if you're interviewing with the current CEO.
That is correct.
you
need to go about it a different way. Yeah, you need to go to boards of directors. You need to go to venture capital companies. Looking for a CEO job is a completely different animal than any other position.
That's true. And hopefully the headhunters come after you. That's the best way to get that, I guess. But
And having a great LinkedIn profile. There's another resource that I want to give to your listeners, too, and that is visualcv.com.
Oh,
visualcv.com. It's gaining a lot of popularity. There is a free version of Visual CV that allows you to put together an online resume, and it will pop up when somebody does a Google search about you, which 92% of employers will do some sort of search about you and also check your references.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to have something up there on your online presence. And having an online resume that's consistent with the message that you give on your resume and on your just on anything online, such as your LinkedIn profile, you want everything to be a consistent marketing message.
Yeah. Now, this visual CV, is this actually a recording of you talking? Is that what it is? Or
no, it's actually just an online. It's a website. It's a web page that you don't have to know how to put together a web page. You
I
just
see.
Sign up for an account. You include your information, and it basically formats itself, and then you can list all of your skills. And it is great. I love it. And actually, we do that for all of our clients.
You could update that or any time you wanted to, I guess, once you put it up.
Yes.
That's visualcv.com.
Yeah, C like Charlie, V like Victor.
Okay,
yep.
That sounds great. I wasn't aware of that particular resource. But let's say you've accomplished the initial steps and you've been invited in for a face-to-face interview with a hiring authority, most likely your potential new boss. And beyond the flying tasteful perfume or deodorant and a mouthwash, what would you say is the number one piece of advice that you would offer to ensure a successful interview?
Great question. Okay, so what I would recommend and what I've found to be most successful is that you need to position yourself as an expert in something. People pay more for experts, and people will hire experts quicker than they will just a winning candidate. And so whatever your expertise is, you don't have to be a national authority on it.
Yeah.
You just have to know more than the person sitting across the desk from you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, show yourself to have expertise in something, and you don't have to say, I'm an expert in blah, blah, blah. I mean, some people don't feel comfortable doing that boastful type of bragging.
That doesn't prove anything if you just say it. You need to demonstrate it by some of the questions you ask or having prior knowledge of the company. And you know, the best thing is to come up with some suggestions that would help them meet a problem or an issue you know they face somehow, without sounding threatening to the interviewer that you know more than. Well, you want them to know more than they do, but you want them to be working on your side if you're the interviewer.
Oh, yes. And you want to be the answer to their problems. And so a really good quick tip is to ask specific questions that gets to their pain.
Yeah.
So treat this as a sales process with you being the salesperson and also you being the product. You are selling yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. So you have to ask, what are your biggest challenges? What are the biggest challenges facing this position or the department or even the company?
Yeah.
What are you finding are your biggest hurdles? What kind of fires are you constantly putting out? Because then if you can give a story of how you're relevant to fixing that challenge or overcoming that challenge, then you are a safe bet to hire, and they will hire you very quickly.
Yeah. And one other thing you mentioned in your pre-resource that you gave out is you have to be likable, too, and build chemistry with the interviewer.
Is a fact. People hire people that they like more than people that are qualified.
Yeah.
So you have to
do it in a nice way, establish your expertise in a friendly way.
You do. I'll give you another online resource for people that don't know how to. One thing to be likable is to build a connection, a personal connection with someone.
Yeah.
And there is just a wonderful hidden gem online called Pipple, PIPL.com. That's P like Paul, I, P like Paul, L.com.
Hmm.
You can put in the name, the full name of the person, first and last name, and their city, just like, for instance, I'm in Kansas City. I would put in Kansas City, Missouri, even if they lived in a suburb. And it will bring up, it searches what it calls the deep web, and it gives you everything about a person. It gives you all of their online profiles. Anytime they've ever given a review on a website, it'll show that. Hmm. It will show, oh my gosh, it shows Amazon wish lists. It shows traffic tickets and tax liens and, it's some amazing stuff. You should probably pipple yourself and make sure that nothing out there is bad about you.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But you can find something to build a connection with so that
you
can.
Then you can go in at your next interview when you meet the guy and you can say, well, it's too bad about that DUI you got a year ago, but I'm sure you've gotten sober.
Not quite. No, you don't want to go into stalker status. No, not quite stalker status, but it will allow you to show some commonality. I mean, if you mention, let's say you see pictures of them on the golf course, then you could say something like, well, the weather's beautiful out there. I wish I was hitting the links, something like that. And that immediately builds a connection with them.
Yeah, that's right. We could go on seeking Tammy's advice for hours and hours. She's got so much good advice, but we're running out of time. And I notice you have a website with tons of access to free resources.
Yeah.
Give us a website address where people can find out more about your services and get those resources.
Certainly. Thank you. It's careerresumeconsulting.com.
Yeah.
CareerResumeConsulting.com.
Yeah, that is two R's for career and resume together.
Yeah, thank you. And also, there's another website I have if you want some video training that gives you 10 free videos that I did. That's sixfigurepro.com. And you can either use either one, or SIX. I bought both of them.
Oh.
So sixfigurepro.com, you can sign up for free video training.
Oh,
but there are a lot of free resources on careerresumeconsulting.com.
I found a number of resources listed that sounded really interesting.
Thank you.
And I would highly recommend that job search manual for six-figure professionals because that was something I really found valuable when I was preparing for this program. It had all kinds of wonderful advice for anyone that's looking. And you also, of course, offer resume consulting and career counseling services to people. How does people find out about that?
There's actually on the front page of my website, it says if you're interested to get started, take a survey. And that's basically a getting to know you survey so that we can find out more information about you. And then one of my team members or myself will give you a call and then we could set up a conversation.
Yeah, that sounds great. I certainly, if I was looking for a job, I certainly consider doing that. And you're not limited just to Metro Kansas City. You have clients, I assume, all around the world. Oh,
yeah, really? I have clients just about in every continent. I work worldwide.
Yeah, these days, no, we're not limited to the internet
and
stuff. We're not limited geographically anymore.
in Skype. I talked to Russia and the Middle East and Australia. I love working with Australia.
Maybe you can find Putin a new job when invading Ukraine. Well, years ago, you know, I lost my executive position in a corporate takeover, and I searched for 18 months and ended up in a position paying $40,000 less than I'd been making, and that job went away in 15 months. And I certainly wish I had had Tammy Kamel and her staff there to help me back then.
Oh, you are so sweet. You know, that happened to me before I got into the career business. I was an executive and got laid off after 10 years, and it took me 12 months to find something, but I ended up in an executive career firm, and that's where I learned how to market people
and
teach people how to get their own jobs. So you don't have to be a six-figure professional to work with me. I've even worked with people making $14 an hour.
Mm.
But I will only work with people if I know that there's a return on investment and that I can make them a good amount of money.
Yeah, it's got to be a two-way street, a win-win proposition, or you don't take it under a... So if you're out of work and sick and tired of what you're doing now, I strongly suggest you visit CareerResumeConsulting.com right away. And if for nothing else, you can gain those great free resources that Tammy offers. And it will certainly open your eyes to better ways of locating and getting hired for an executive or a professional position of your dreams. And you know, there's nothing worse than keep trying something that's failed over and over and getting more and more depressed and more panicked. So I would certainly recommend you consider Tammy's services and go to her website today if you're in a frustrated position where you're stuck out of work or in a job you just don't like. And thanks a million, Tammy, for your advice today, and hope you have greatest success and good luck to your Kansas City Royals.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you for providing this resource. Really, it's really an amazing resource that you provide on a consistent basis, and I really appreciate that. Everyone that listens does, I know.
Oh, thank you so much for the compliment, and we hope you tune in again next week, and we'll have some more good stuff on finding that career of your dreams. For the remainder of today's program, we're going to continue the hypothetical journey we started last week, the mid-career journey from pink slip to your dream vocation. And first off, I want to correct a figure I quoted in the preceding Tammy Kamel interview. In that interview, I said that the government employment rate was 6.1%, but it has since dropped to 5.9%. And I'm certain that makes you feel much better if you're 54 off work for the past 8 months and looking for a new job. You know, in truth, there are probably close to 20 million Americans today who are actively or silently searching for a new job. And our recommended five-stage process, which we started to talk about last week, is specifically designed to help you stand out from the other 19,999,999. And to review, last week we covered stages 1 and 2, and stage 1 is to buy the time you need to conduct a disciplined, positive, panic-free job search on your own terms and your own timetable. You do this by making tough but necessary family budget and financing decisions up front so that you can concentrate confidently full-time on finding and getting hired for your dream job. And stage 2 is to target your next job and career. And that's what I call a mental vacation to define your true vocation. You'll come across then to potential employers as a disciplined individual, one who knows what he or she wants and what you can contribute if hired. You may not get precisely what you want. Nobody does. But your ideal target vocation provides a measuring stick against which to measure all opportunities and offers. So let's move on to stage 3, and that is to design and kick off your personal marketing campaign. Now, this is to be an active full-time job search campaign, not a passive response to internet job boards or to newspaper help wanted ads, if any of those still exist. You need to take the ball in your own hands with a pre-planned productive activities every day, but with planned timeouts, of course, for rest and relaxation, just like from any job. And you have two primary assignments, and this is your full-time occupation until successful completion of your campaign, that is, a great new job. First of all, your project manager. You're responsible for design and implementation of your own campaign and for scheduling and coordination of all campaign initiatives. And secondly, you are product manager, responsible to promote a single product, which is you, your talent, capabilities, expertise, and experience to potential purchasers of your service, and that is employers and sources of funding for an entrepreneurial venture if that's your choice to proceed rather than looking for a job from somebody else. By the way, stage four is conducting your marketing campaign, how to do that. And stage five is closing the deal in face-to-face interviews and negotiating terms of employment to your benefit. So let's talk about design of your campaign, stage three. Now, today's guest, Tammy Cavell, presented some excellent suggestions for those of us in our late 40s, 50s, and 60s who are seeking a high-level professional or management position. She told us what it takes for an effective 2014 job search campaign, what that should look like. And you can go back, obviously, and listen to the earlier part of this program if you missed some of that. But here are a few essential peripheral issues you'll need to resolve before you launch that campaign. First of all, how much time and money will it cost, and are you willing to spend to master required industry knowledge and job skills if you're transitioning to something quite different from what you're experienced? Can you find the training necessary at a reasonable cost? You know, when I transitioned from a manufacturing company to an insurance company, I took the IIA and then the CPCU professional exams with a whole bunch of pre-study on my own time so that I would understand the industry I was entering. And it's essential, obviously, that you qualify yourself to participate in that ideal position. Secondly, how can you demonstrate qualifications if you're transitioning to a different field? Are prior accomplishments, training experience transferable to your targeted new industry and job function? Can you demonstrate relevance to prospective employers? That's obviously a key issue. And how about volunteer activities? Would they help to strengthen your resume at this point? You might want to consider those. A third issue is, are you prepared emotionally for time on your hands? At least for now, you'll be your own boss. Are you ready? Transitioning from a steady job to job search is much more than simply a financial challenge. You need to adapt to a fluid, self-motivated transition schedule, and that's far different from going into work each day, having the boss tell you what to do and when it must be completed. It will be entirely up to you to fill in gaps in your assignment calendar. Are you fully prepared with a comprehensive action plan to positively occupy your time and energy in the weeks and months ahead? No matter how promising your future, you are certain to experience an emotional void that first Monday when you don't have to catch the 6:47 train into the city. Actually, in my case, it was a very long and tense-filled drive on the L.A. freeways because we were out in Southern California at the time when I lost my last full-time executive position. And as soon as you begin to implement your plan, though, that void will go away. I certainly found that mine did. It's most essential that you remain focused throughout on your primary task, and that's implementing your day-to-day transition agenda, staying on target on your schedule that you have set for yourself. Now, obviously, you can't dictate the outcome, but you can stay on schedule in terms of making contact, preparing your resume, all those other tasks that you need to do. And I don't care if it's a beautiful fall day to go out and play golf or go fishing. And, of course, you should schedule periodic afternoons, evenings, or days off for kids' activities, recreation, romance with your spouse, and refilling of your emotional tank. But these should be planned in advance and never so long that you lose momentum. You certainly don't want to put off till tomorrow constantly what you need to accomplish today. And it's pretty much guaranteed also in job search that you'll suffer setbacks and emotional downers at some points during the search. I'll never forget my disappointment and frustration years ago when I learned I was a runner-up, but I didn't get this prize CFO job that was even better than the one I had just lost. and that really set me back for some period of time. But you can't let temporary setbacks or obstacles throw you off track. That's why it's always good to have in mind some second and third opportunities if the first one falls through. And to overcome fear of failure, it's important to view each setback as a learning experience. What can I do better the next time? You don't spend a lot of time mourning the loss, but you do ask yourself questions of what you can do better next time. And then you get back on that horse. And one's natural tendency is to back off for a few days to summon up courage to try again. But the longer you wait, the harder it gets, and I can certainly speak from experience on that. To avoid procrastination, you will need to call upon every ounce of your deep emotional reserve, and you have that inside of you. Have you braced yourself for a temporary loss of status? That's another peripheral issue. During the weeks and months of transition, you no longer will play an essential role in the world of commerce. I don't know if that bothers you or not. Your former colleagues will tend to forget you or even ignore you at times. You no longer will be able to boast, I'm vice president of XYZ Corporation at the next cocktail party, and there'll be no lease car, company-funded country club, corner office with view, or that reserved parking space. Will you let this loss of status bother you? I hope not. During transition, you will remain on track so long as you are able to accept things the way they are and view progress through your own eyes alone. You are transitioning for the long haul, so keep your eyes on the prize and don't worry about the short-term status and what other people might think, even if the neighbors notice you out on the lawn during a working day. Only you and your most trusted confidants are fully aware of the big picture, and they need to be periodically updated on your progress. And the key at all times is to focus your eyes squarely upon the prize, a bright and shining future, earning a living, calling on the talents, and performing the functions and activities that you admire and enjoy. And warning, do not rush headlong into the first job offered you simply out of panic or frustration. I've done that in a couple times to my own regret. And never fall for vague, unsubstantiated promises or a naive yearning to try something new, because 9 times out of 10, that doesn't work out. We need to perform due diligence on every opportunity that presents itself and search for potential pitfalls or hidden booby traps that may lie ahead. Never sell yourself short. That's a real problem for those of us that late in our middle age. We often are willing to, I think Tammy pointed this out, we're often willing to accept a job way beneath our qualifications. And it's interesting because it's actually, studies have shown it's there's less job discrimination for the higher up the job is than for the lower job. And so a lot of people do apply for jobs that are beneath their qualifications, and that's not a good thing to do. And if you really like a potential boss and his or her company or organization, you need to spot an employer need, and if they don't have a specific position listed, propose your own newly designed position and solution to a particular problem. And Tammy indicated that fully 40% of her clients who started new jobs this year had jobs specifically created for them where no job previously existed. And that, to me, is the ultimate compliment to someone's ability. It shows the client really did a good job in marketing themselves, doesn't it, when a job is created for them, and it can be created for you. And before we move on, here's a home-based business opportunity warning. You know, all the time we're inundated with these pictures, phone calls, and internet pictures of somebody standing in front of a Mercedes and smiling, and you know, that you can make big bucks with very little effort. And please do not permit yourself to be seduced by one of these. The site promises of instantaneous wealth, big payoff, or minimal effort. You need to keep your head on straight. As in any startup, if you do a home-based business, you'll need to develop your own solid game plan with a clear timetable for success and an action plan to get there. And it's never easy, especially in the early stages, even in these multi-level marketing presentations, they're always talking about how easy it is. And it's key to picture your venture as Mary Jones Enterprises, if that's your name, or Bill Smith Enterprises, not a firm connection to any particular multi-level marketing flavor of the day. And if despite diligent effort after the first, say 3 to 6 months on trying a particular multi-level marketing venture, you should pull up stakes and try another opportunity, because there's no sense in spending good hours after bad or spending good money after bad if the opportunity just isn't working out for you. And even the most successful home-based business entrepreneurs sometimes experience failure and frustration, but a positive mindset accounts for 99% of home-based business, in fact, any kind of business success. So long as you remain knowledgeable, confident, and committed, at least in the early stages, to diligent hard work, sooner or later you will locate that right home-based opportunity and you'll make some serious money. And here's a final and most essential step to launching your successful job search campaign, and that's an attention-grabbing resume that will help sell your brand and get you in the door for an interview. And today's guest, Tammy Cabell, talked at length about the secrets to a successful resume. And you might want to replay the early portion of this broadcast covering that. But I also highly recommend you go to her website, www.careerresumeconsulting.com, where she offers a number of resources, including a comprehensive free white paper, the Resume Reboot Manual. And we also talked with Tammy earlier today about stages 4 and 5, how to actually conduct your job search marketing campaign, which the ground rules have changed so much in the past 5 years, and you need to listen into that, and how to ace your on-site interview with the person or persons making the final hiring decision. But you know, the most essential element of a successful job campaign is to get focused and actually excited about your job search. You know, if you approach finding a new job with a downer attitude, you're not likely to find what you're looking for. This is not about your prior loss or feeling sorry for yourself that the company closed up shop or reorganized or whatever. It's about your opportunity to spend the rest of your working career in a job that you relish, in effect in a job that you partially designed, and you will be compensated handsomely for it. And once you zero in on an ideal yet realistic target position, you prepare a great resume and marketing materials that present you as a uniquely qualified top performer, and you also know how to get them in front of the right decision makers, and you are confident that you can close the deal once you do get in front of those decision makers, you will succeed. Now, during the campaign, you will awaken each morning knowing precisely what you are going to do that day to move your campaign forward. It's really essential that you have plans for each day and you don't get distracted to go putter in the garden. In all likelihood, in less time than expected, you will be heading for work full of confidence and positive expectations on the job of your dream. And to close today's program, here are 3 final suggestions. The first suggestion is every day approach your career and life in general as a win-win proposition. You know, you'll never succeed by holding down or emotionally intentionally taking advantage of someone else. Second, remember at all times that no one's worth, including yours and mine, is determined solely by career. You should seek to master your chosen vocation, but never let your vocation master you. Making a living and making a life are not the same thing. And the third suggestion is never cherish and pursue your career at the expense of your health, family relationships, gratitude to God, and service to others. But heck, at middle age with 20 or more years of adult living experience, you already knew all that. You don't need me telling you how to balance your life, I'm certain. But my biggest piece of advice for right now is to take action, but do things differently, because it makes absolutely no sense to do what you've always done if it isn't working for you. And of course, I've been talking to people who either don't like their present jobs or who are out of work and looking for work. And if you're in a job that you admire and are having a good time at it, just keep doing what you've been doing, because there's no reason not to enjoy what you do for a living and getting someone to pay for it. And if you're in that situation, great for you and congratulations. And don't forget my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, which is a comprehensive roadmap to a joyful and productive second half of life, and our brand new website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And tune in next week when our guest will offer suggestions on avoiding the pink slip at that job that you love. And he'll also take you on the pathway to leadership success, how to move into leadership or advance in leadership of your business and company. And goodbye for now. As always, we're glad you joined us on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.